turn to the book of 1 John. You know, with all the things going on, it's good to look forward to the land of an unclouded day, isn't it? There's lots of clouds in this land, in this world, in our lives, things that happen that we're not particularly excited about, things that we would rather not go through, things that we'd rather not have to deal with, whether it happens to us personally or just kind of out there, you know, the news and those kind of things. But there's coming a day, folks, when there is no clouds, there's no pain, and there's no sorrow. It's all God's going to take care of all that. That's where our faith lies, or at least where it should lie, is right there. And we need to remember that, because it can get mighty discouraging. But we need to remember, we are not citizens here. We are citizens of heaven. And that's our country. That's where we will be. Anyone that has named the name of Christ, that's where you will be. Praise the Lord for that. Today we're going to talk about love again, which is not surprising since we're in the book of 1 John, and that's pretty much the whole book. But today, the assurance of love's victory over fear. And let me ask you a question. When it comes to sharing the gospel, is there a certain amount of fear come, you know, many of us? Certain amount of doubt, certain amount of not sure how this is going to be received, that kind of thing. Let me ask you something. Does it affect what you say, where you say it, how you say it, or even if you say it? Now, let me ask you another question. Does God's love affect you more than your fear? Because, you know, fear is real, or at least it's perceived to be real. There's an acronym for fear: false evidence appearing real. We're afraid of something. You know, it appears to be real. Bible, not the Bible, but just in general, life kind of teaches us that like 90% of the things we fear don't really happen. Occasionally something we fear happens, but most of the time we fret about something and nothing happens. And we let things stop us from doing what we should do when we shouldn't. I mean, it's that simple. But in this fear we're talking about today, and even though that's the title, Assurance of Love's Victory Over Fear, the message is more about love than it is fear. And the focus is on love rather than fear. I mean, there is one verse in this passage that specifically mentions fear, but basically all the rest of it is about love. And even the verse where fear is mentioned, love is mentioned also. And so we need to understand that God's love for us is a huge advantage in our walk on planet Earth. And I think a lot of times we kind of forget that God really loves us. He really does. And so let's look at this passage, five verses. And first one, love gives us confidence. Love gives us confidence. The passage says in this, and when it says in this, what has he just talked about? He's talking about how we have seen and we testify that the Father sent his Son to be the world Savior, and whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, that God remains in him and he in God. And we have come to know that and to believe that the love that God has for us. Now, do you really believe and know the love that God has for you? I mean, we say we do, but are we really comprehending it? And so he says, God is love, and the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. So now in verse 17, in this, all this what he just said, all what John just wrote here, he says, in this, love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, for we are as he is in this world. There is no fear in love. Instead, perfect love drives out fear because fear involves punishment. So the one who fears has not reached perfection in love. That word perfection, you could just throw maturity right in there. That's what it really means. And we love him because he first loved us. And so in the first verse, in verse 17, love gives us confidence. Do you get what he's saying here? In this, in salvation, in having a relationship with a living God, love is perfected within us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. You know, I have talked to Christians, people that I really believe are Christians, they still have a certain amount of fear about when their day comes. They have a certain amount of fear. And you know what? We don't have to have any fear. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you will stand before God and be found not guilty because of what Christ did on your behalf. We can have confidence. You don't have to go up there. You know, I've encountered people that they believe they can lose their salvation. They have a certain amount of fear. They have a certain amount of fear that, boy, what if, you know, what if I didn't, you know, what if I forgot about something? What if I didn't ask him to forgive me about something? And I get before God and that's going to be held against me. But John says we have confidence in the day of judgment. You can be confident because you know why? Your confidence isn't based on you. Your confidence isn't based on what you've done. Your confidence is based on what Christ has done. That's where our confidence comes from. Not on our works and our frailties and, you know, the way that we mess up, because we do. If I was coming up there based on being confident in me, I'd be in trouble. And so would you. But we come in confidence because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And this is so interesting. He says, for, you know, listen to this. This is, for we are as he is. Now that's not talking we're going to be like he is. We are as he is in this world. What was he? Did you ever stop and think, okay, if we are as he is, then what is Jesus in this world right now? He's light. He's salt. He's the Son of God. He's got the answers to all the problems. And we are as he is. We are as he is. In other words, we're going to look like Jesus. And you know what? We are representing him right now. Now, we're not perfect like he is, but we're still representing him. And we are the light. Remember last week we talked about, or it was the week before, I forget which, but we are the light of the world, Jesus said. He didn't say we're going to be. He said we are. He was the light of the world. He went to be with his Father in heaven as part of the plan. And left us behind, left 12 disciples and probably 70 or 100 followers at that moment, and told them to go out and share the gospel to the whole world. Make believers, they were the light, and it's been handed down to us, and now we're the light. All people in the world today that know Christ as Savior is the light. We are as he is. And that light, you know, God is love. Remember, we talked about that too. God is love. And we are as he is. So how much love are you? That's something we all need to talk about. We all need to consider. We all need to ponder. We all need to look in the mirror. How much love's right here? How much love? He gives us confidence. Love drives out fear. Verse 18. There's no fear in love. Instead, perfect love drives out fear because fear involves punishment. This is not talking about righteous fear. We should have a righteous fear of God. In fact, in another place, I think it's Ecclesiastes Solomon says, fear God and obey the commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. But that fear is a righteous fear. It's acknowledging the awesome God that we serve. It is a worshipful fear and respect. But the fear that's talking about here is fear that we should not have. This is fear that comes from a sense of guilt. You know, there are so many Christians today that live in guilt. God has forgiven them, and yet they kind of live like He hasn't. And I've heard people say, well, you know, God's forgiven them, but they haven't forgiven themselves. Look, you cannot forgive yourself. Okay? You can't. You don't have the power to forgive yourself. Only God can forgive sins. Remember, Jesus got in trouble because He says, go, your sins have been forgiven. And they go, only God can forgive sins. And so you can't forgive your own sin. Who are you? Are you the authority? But you know what? You can recognize that your sins have been forgiven if you've asked Him. If you've humbled yourself and said, Father, I'm a mess. I've done all these things wrong. Will you please forgive me? He will. And yeah, you know, every one of us has a past. Every one of us has things we should or ought to be guilty about, but we don't live in that guilt anymore. Because Satan always brings it up, don't he? Every time you're going to do something, well, who are you to do this? Look at you. You get that voice in your head. You're telling him not to do that? And look at you. And you just go, yep, you're right, Satan. Look at me. I did do those things, but you know what? I'm forgiven, and I'm trying to help my brother here. I'm trying to help somebody not make the mistake I made. Or if they have made the mistake, help them get through it and move on. Listen, you do need to deal with your past if you haven't, but you don't live there. And that's what guilt is. Guilt is just living in the past. You deal with it, you make it right, you learn from it, and go on. He says, what? Forgetting those things that are behind me, Paul said. I press forward. I go onward. And Christ said, nobody plows a field looking behind. You know, if you look behind while you're plowing, you're going to be, you know, you're not going to be going in those straight rows. You go straight by looking ahead. When we look behind, it just opens us up to be in the wrong path. Deal with your sin, admit your sin, ask forgiveness for your sin, and move on. And you won't have that fear. You know, a lot of times we have unconfessed sin and we fear we're going to get caught. You know what's amazing is once you admit it and it's out in the open, there's no more fear. It's gone. Now, I'm not saying get up here and tell me everything you have done. That's God's job, okay? But if you have wronged somebody, then you need to go make it right with them. It's just that simple. You only have to admit it as far as it went. Now, if you did something in front of the whole church, then you need to apologize to the whole church, ask for forgiveness. If you just did it with one person, maybe a husband to a wife or a child to a parent or parent to a child or a wife to a husband, whatever, you take care of it right there. That's as far as it needs to go. But you take care of it. And then you don't have to worry about being caught. Because you know what? It's out there. It's dealt with. It's done. That's the hardest thing for all these politicians, right? They all got all that stuff, right? And then all, you know, if you want people to find out your business, just run for office. Because the opponent will dig up everything they can find on you. So it's better just to come clean. Say, yep, I did do that. That do you understand that when you come clean like that, the power that was holding you is gone? That it's gone. You're free. You're released from it. It's a great thing, folks. If you're sitting on something that you haven't dealt with, I encourage you, please do it. It eliminates the fear. It eliminates the guilt. People that live with this guilt, live with this fear, they're not mature in love. They haven't really grasped that, yes, God really can forgive what you did. He really can. And actually, He can really treat you as if you had never done it. He has that ability. We don't have it so much with one another, but He does. You know, we always, you know, people say, oh, forgive and forget. Listen, nobody forgets. But you can forgive. But you're not going to forget. And, you know, if somebody did something to you, I mean, you really think you can forget that? If you had a child that was run down by a drunk driver, are you really going to forget that ever happened? No. That's ridiculous. But you can forgive the person. You can forgive them. You can even forgive them whether they ask for it or not. And in fact, if you don't forgive them, you become a violator of the law because now you're bitter. And the Bible says what? Put away all bitterness and wrath from you. Why? Because now it holds you prisoner. You didn't even do anything wrong in that area, but now you're held prisoner by it. You got to let it go, folks. If you want to really comprehend God's love, you've got to get a hold of the fact that, yes, you can be forgiven no matter what you've done. And push away the guilt. Love compels a response. We love Him because He first loved us. See, there was a response there. He loved us so much. Hopefully, if you get a hold of that, you are compelled to love Him. It's, why do we love Him? Because you know what? I deserve hell. My deeds, my wickedness, just say it for what it is, folks. When you disobey God, that's called disobedience. It's called rebellion. And the Bible says it's worse than witchcraft. So just say it how it is. I'm wicked. If I let my flesh go where it wants to, capable of anything, and so are you. We're capable of anything. But He loved us anyway. Do you understand that? He loved us anyway. Do you fully comprehend God's love for you? He loved us as we were. How were we? Unlovely, unworthy, sinful, selfish, prideful, arrogant, and we could probably fill in 37 other words. But you want me to get done, so we will move on. But you get the point. We have a bunch of stuff in us, don't we? And God loves us so much in the midst of all that stuff, as unlovely as we were, unworthy as we are. He loved us, sent His Son to die for us, adopt us into His family. Think about that. You know, the Bible talks much about adoption. sons and daughters adopted into his family. Now you think about your family, and you go out and find the most arrogant, unthankful, wicked person, some kid that you probably know. You know, some kid that ungrateful, treats you wrong when you try to help them and be nice to them, they just spit in your face. But go ahead and adopt them in your family, just as they are. You understand that's what God did for you? I don't know. You know, the Bible says no one seeks after God. You know, I wasn't seeking him. Oh, I knew about him and I'd play a game, you know, kind of. But he was coming after me. And he adopted me into his family just like I was. Biggest knucklehead ever. Okay? Adopted me in there, loved me, changed me. Probably should say changing me because it's current. But, man, when someone loves you like that, just as you are, shouldn't we be grateful? Shouldn't we be thankful? Shouldn't we love him back? It does compel a response. If you really, really examine how much God loves you and really grasp it, and you got to love him back. You got to love him back. It compels a response. Listen, we cannot base God's love for us. This is where we get into trouble sometimes, some of us. We cannot base God's love for us upon what happens to us in this life. People say, you know, when bad things happen, where was God? You know, God wasn't with me. God, you know, God let all this happen. How could a God that loves allow this to happen? Listen, read your Bible, folks. The Bible talks much about reaping what you sow and about free will and about a sinful world. So we had a whole bunch of people in this world that all have a sin nature, and they have the power to make choices. And God allows them to make choices, just like he allows us to make choices, doesn't he? We make choices all the time. Sometimes we choose to do things properly. Sometimes we choose to go our own way. And whatever we do, there's a response to that. There's a consequence to that. There's a repercussion for our choice. And, you know, God doesn't stop the repercussion. And as a nation, because we got all this stuff going on in our nation, but look at what our nation has done. Our nation has turned its back on God. Our nation is trying to legislate God out of everything, off our money. You know, everybody trusts in money. That's why, the way back, they decided, you know, it'd be good to put in God we trust on the money. But what? Our nation's trying to do that? Nation's already gotten rid of prayer out of schools. That already happened. The nation is trying to legislate God out. And so, reaping and sowing. This is what we're sowing. What do you think we're going to reap? And just because we're Christians doesn't make us exempt from the consequences of that. You know, you read about we're going to be starting the book of Judges in our men's Thursday night Bible study coming up. And the whole book of Judges is about a nation that served God and was blessed by God. And then they forgot God and then they left God. And then God would allow oppression to come in their lives so that they would turn back to him. And they did it not once. Not twice, not three times. I mean, I don't know how many judges there were off the top of my head. There was like 20 of them or something. 20 times, however many judges, 20 times that happened. Because that's our nature, isn't it? We kind of drift away. But I'll tell you something. In that nation that drifted away, there was still people that were trying to do what was right. You know, it wasn't 100% of the people were sacrificing their children in the fire or whatever, you know. There was always some, but you know what? When the oppression came, it affected everybody in the nation. You know, you read Jeremiah, you know, he preached and preached and preached, telling them to repent. And they didn't. And you know what? Look, I mean, look at Daniel and his friends. And, you know, they were doing what was right. Did that stop Nebuchadnezzar from coming in and laying waste to Jerusalem and killing their parents in all likelihood and taking them captive and drag them back to Babylon? And yet, these were God-fearing young men. There was many of them. And just like we have many people in our nation today that are, you know, trying to do what's right, trying to, you know. But you know what? If our nation leaves God, there's sowing, reaping. So don't think that God's not here. Don't think that God doesn't know. But just you need to understand that His love is not predicated on our decisions, you know, and the things that happen. That doesn't mean God doesn't love us. He already proved it by sending His Son. That's the proof of His love. And He doesn't take away our ability to choose to do right, to do wrong. I mean, it goes all the way back to the beginning. Remember Cain and Abel? Cain and Abel made sacrifice, both of them. And I'm sure Cain had a really good intention. I mean, he was really trying to please God, except he didn't do it God's way. And God accepted Abel's sacrifice, but did not accept Cain. And Cain was very upset. And God came down and said, hey, if why are you mad? And he goes, well, you know, kind of like pouting like a little kid. Oh, you accepted Abel's sacrifice, didn't accept mine. You know. God said, well, if you choose to do right, won't you be accepted also? Cain could have chose. But instead he chose to kill his brother. And he reaped a consequence, didn't he? Now, was God there? Absolutely. God, I mean, was personally talking with Cain. That's amazing. He didn't want Cain to mess up. But we do have the power to make choices. And so there's a response. Love compels a response. Just remember, He loves you. If you get nothing else out of this today, I hope you get the fact that God loves you more than you could ever know, more than you can comprehend. I hope you get that. Love exposes the truth. Verse 20. This is a tough verse here, folks. I hope you know, look at this verse. This kind of separates the men from the boys here. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. He's a liar. For the person who does not love his brother, For the person who does not love his brother he has seen, cannot love the God he has not seen. Okay? Listen, every Christian will say, I love God. I mean, you ask any Christian, oh, you know the Lord? Yeah. You love Him? Oh, yeah, I love the Lord. Love the Lord. Everyone will say that. But here's the proof. Here's the truth. Right here. He says, let me ask you a question before I get to the truth. How many of you have been hurt by a Christian? Huh? How many of you have been treated not so great by a Christian? Yeah? Yeah, we all probably have. You know, somewhere along the way. Listen, every single person bears the image of God. Man, woman, boy and girl. Okay? We are created in the image of God. And this verse says, if you do not love your brother that you have seen, okay, I see all of you. You see me. We see other people. You do not see, if you do not love those you have seen, then you cannot love the one you haven't. Now, I didn't say that, folks. The Bible says it. I'm just reading it to you. That's a sobering thought. That's a sobering thought. That means you love the unlovable. You ever meet that person and you're like, man, I bet their own mother doesn't love them. You know? I mean, they're out there, right? You're like, goodness. I was out the other day. I was actually meeting with Bill, who's the director of the Victor Valley Rescue Mission. We were talking about setting up this meal thing. And he says, a few days before that, you know, I've talked with him. And he says, I'll meet you at Starbucks. Everybody assumes everybody drinks coffee. I don't drink coffee. I've never bought a single thing at Starbucks because there's nothing there I want. But, you know, I don't like to go through that whole thing. So I just say, okay, I'll go to Starbucks and have nothing. So I meet him over there. And as I was walking in, it's interesting because we fall into things. I'm kind of telling on myself here. But, we fall into things. We don't even realize it. We don't even realize it. So I go pull up. It's the Starbucks right there in front of Lowe's on Bear Valley Road right there, And so I pull in there and I park. And I don't know if you've ever been in that plaza. Every time you pull in right there's like a Supercuts, there's a Subway, there's a Starbucks, there's a Juice It Up, there's some Mexican restaurant there or something. There's always a lot of cars pulling in and out of there. And there's always a couple of people there. If you pull in there, they go, hey, man, can I wash your windows on your car? They want like a dollar, whatever you'll give them, And so I pull in there. It was like 8 in the morning. And I pull in and I park. And I go walking across the parking lot. In front of Starbucks, they have those tables and, the shade and all that stuff. And there was this young man sitting there with a spray bottle, and a rag, but he was like, he was crashed. He was just, so I just looked at him, and you know what my thought was? It wasn't real holy, it wasn't bad, it was just like, but it was like, I walked by him, and I thought, wow, I'm glad he's asleep so I don't have to deal with him, I mean, I really, I didn't mean bad of him or anything. It was just, I'm glad I don't have to tell him, no, I don't want my windows clean, That was the only thought in my head. And it wasn't because I had my mind on the meeting. I had my mind on, seeing if Bill was there yet, and all that. And just as I saw the young man, I just walked by him and I thought, wow, I'm glad I didn't have to talk to him, And I'm just being honest, okay? I wasn't mean. I didn't think bad of him. I just was just glad. I had my thing to do, and I'm glad he wasn't keeping me from doing the thing I had to do. So I go in there, and there's Bill's in there. And he goes, hey, you want anything? I go, oh, no, I'm not a coffee guy. But, go ahead. He was waiting for his order. So he got his order, and he also had bought another one. I thought it was for me. But he says, I'll be back in a minute. And he set his down, and he went out there and sat down at that table with that young man. Guy was 21 years old. And he sat down, and I just sat there watching him, and then I'm thinking, I'm such a knucklehead. That should have been me talking to him, But, Bill went out there, gave him a cup of whatever it was, And we just sat there, and the guy was like this, and then he kind of woke up. You saw him, doing. I mean, he was out, man. And then they talked for about 10, 15 minutes or so. And I just sat in there and waited, And he came back in, and I had noticed. While he and I were there waiting for his order, that he had a card for the rescue mission, because that's exactly what that young man needed. Okay. And he was just headed in his hand. He was just kind of playing. You know how you play with something, you don't even know you're doing it. He was just doing that while he was waiting on the order. But he actually gave the card. He had it out. He knew he was ordering the thing, and he was going to give him his card and say, you know, if you get to a place where you want some help, we're here. You know. And he went and talked to him. And I sat there thinking. I was thinking, I need to be more aware. You know, I just need to be more aware. I didn't hate that young man or anything. I just was kind of oblivious that he was even there, other than he was going to impede on my little world if he asked me to, you know, wash my windshield. But, you know, Bill, I mean, that's his ministry. You know, Victor Valley Rescue Mission, they take in men, you know, and give them a shot. And so he's looking for the opportunity. And I had to ask God to forgive me. You know, I just had to say, you know, God, I didn't have that young man's welfare on my mind at all. Even though I was there for a very good thing to help probably people like that young man right here. I mean, sometimes we don't see the forest for the trees, you know? We miss the opportunity. But we need to love the people that we'd rather not love. Because that really exposes the church. I mean, it does expose the church. I don't know if that was a slip or that was real. Because he says, if you say you love God, and you don't love others, you're a liar. I don't know how else to put this. Because if you won't even love those you've seen, how can you love the God you haven't seen? That is a very... It exposes the truth about us, folks. Love exposes the truth. And we have to understand that, you know, I cannot change the world, but I'm not called to. I'm called to have impact where God puts me. We don't have to look any bigger than that. Wherever God places you, if he places you in front of the world, that's fine. But if he places you in front of a 21-year-old young man at Starbucks, you got to love that guy. And when people start coming here for meals, and they may not be very clean or very whatever our standard is or your personal standard is, we're only here for one reason, to love them. And where that love takes it, I mean, it may take it to salvation, it may not, but you love them. You know, it was interesting when Jesus looked out on the people, the Bible says he was moved with compassion because they were like sheep with no shepherd. They didn't know where they were going. That young man was just, he's a sheep with no shepherd. He didn't know where he was going. He's trying to get by day to day. I'll earn me enough money washing windows that I can probably go into that Mexican restaurant and buy a taco or something. I mean, his clothes, you know, he holes in it. I mean... Love exposes the truth about us, folks. We need to grow. I mean, that's just me included. Need to grow. Love demands obedience. Verse 21, and we have this command. It's not a suggestion. It's not a wish. It's a command. The one who loves God must also love his brother. Must. Look what Jesus said. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commands. You will. Then a few verses later, he flips it around. The one who doesn't love me will not keep my words. And the word, by the way, that you hear is not mine, but it's from the Father who sent me. You see, folks, love is a choice. We're not talking about the love where you see that person, you just have this natural affinity for them because you have things in common, or maybe it's your relative or, you know, whoever, so you love them. You have feelings for your children or your grandchildren. You love them. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a love that you choose. You choose. We choose to love people just like our Heavenly Father chose to love us. Because let's face it, without Jesus, we're not very lovable. We're not. When Jesus gets in us, we become more lovable. But God chose to love us anyway. He chose, you know, Jesus chose to sacrifice himself. You understand he didn't have to, right? I mean, he willingly laid down his life for you and me and the whole world, even for those that would never accept the gift that he gave. Even for those that mocked him, spit on him, tore out his beard, whipped him, nailed him, pierced him. He loved them. He looked at the multitudes with compassion. He cared for them. And we are supposed to be like him. So we have to choose to love people that kind of hard to love. You know, what did Jesus say? He said, what's the big deal if you just like those or love those that love you? Everybody does that. The world does that. They love the ones that love them. We are called to a higher standard. We love those who hate us, who use us, who try to bring us down. Yes, even kill us. We're not greater than the master, are we? Bible says, what? You're not going to be greater than the master. And if they killed Jesus, now I hope, you know, I hope I don't have to give that sacrifice. I really do. But the point is, we're not better than him. And we don't get to pick and choose who we love. We're to love everyone. Again, that doesn't mean you're going to establish a long-term friendship relationship. I mean, you may with a few people, but it's unselfish regard for another's welfare. That's what this kind of love is. Unselfish regard for another's welfare. And when you talk to somebody that doesn't have the Lord, you're talking with them understanding that they are on their way to hell. And so we want to have an unselfish regard for their welfare. We need to understand that that's a life that Jesus died for. And if something doesn't happen, if they don't hear, they're going to go to hell. And we should care about that. If we love God, we will. It is perfect or mature love that drives out fear. When you really get a hold of what you're doing, there's really no time for fear. People are dying every day without the Lord. and they need to hear the truth. They need to hear the gospel. One hindrance to sharing the gospel may be that many Christians do not fully comprehend the depth and magnitude of God's love for them. You know, it's hard to effectively share God's love with others when we aren't even confident in it ourselves. You ever see somebody try to sell something that they really don't believe in? I worked for Sears for 34 years. We were supposed to sell maintenance agreements. I really didn't believe in them. I didn't sell very many. This is the truth. I actually probably be a better salesman of them now than I was then because, I mean, I was supposed to repair them. I didn't even understand how to repair half of them. So you better have a contract. I actually kind of am for them now. But at the time, I just felt people were better off just paying for the repair as they went. And it was very difficult for me to sell something I didn't really get a hold of myself. And you know what? If you haven't fully grasped the love of God, it's hard for you to share God's love with someone else. Secondly, many Christians do not fully comprehend the depth and magnitude of God's love for others. You know, we kind of have this thing where, you know, we know God loves us, but, you know, but you know what? He loves everyone just as much as he loves you. God is not a respecter of persons. Regarding reaping and sowing, but also regarding his love. He loves the sinner and the saint. He loves the drunk. He loves the embezzler. He loves the office guy that tries not to do anything wrong. All with the same love. A child, an adult, male, female, whatever financial strata you're in, his love is the same. And when we see people do crazy stuff, bad stuff, evil stuff, it's really hard for me to comprehend that God loves them just as much as he loves me. But you know what? He does. For God so loved the world. That's the whole place, folks. It's every person. Whether it's Adolf Hitler or a little 3-year-old innocent little child. Same love. And I don't think any Christian really fully comprehends that, but we need to get a better grip on it. Jesus died for everyone. The gospel is for everyone. And it's not up to us to decide who gets it and who doesn't. Love exposes the truth, and the truth may well be that we don't share enough because we don't care enough. That's kind of hard words, but you know, I didn't want to put that on there. And God kind of made me. And we don't care enough because we haven't truly comprehended what mature love does. I mean, when you love somebody, you care for them. So if we don't have this grip on love, if we don't have this understanding, this apprehension, this comprehension of love, we can't really care for people the way we ought to. And if we don't care for them, we're not going to share with them. I mean, it just kind of works that way. But just like Bill, he cared about that young man. And he went out there and shared with him. And we need to get a hold of love, folks. And if we do, we're going to look at people differently. And we're going to care that they have an eternity. And that'll make us want to just share. And if, you know, if they reject it, oh, that's not on you. That's they're rejecting God. They're not rejecting you. And we got to get over that. Because that's what mature love does. That's what he's talking about. Perfect love. Mature love. Mature love is recognizing that there's a lot of flawed people out there. And the truth be known, we're all flawed. And we got loved. And so those people need to be loved too. That's mature love. That's looking beyond the circumstances and the stuff and understanding there's an eternal picture that every Christian should be aware of and looking at. So, little thing at the bottom of your outline, God loves me. God loves others. Say it. God loves me. God loves others. God loves me. God loves others. Believe it and share it.
Amen.
That's our mission, folks. Opportunities. You know, we need to be aware of our opportunities. Just have your eyes open. Might be the hairdresser that you go to, might be the barber, might be the kid sitting at a table outside Starbucks. You know? Just go up and say hi. How you doing? What's your plans? Do you have a place to stay? Do you know there's a God that loves you? Be interesting the conversation you can get into. And you may get an open door to share the gospel. You may not. It doesn't always happen. But you got to be willing to initiate a little, just be nice. You know, people are just dying. You know, you ever look at people's faces? Man, it's just life, just. And then you smile, and they'll kind of gets them out of their world a little bit, and they smile back. You know. You know, there may be some here today. You may have a reason to fear the day of judgment, as it said in verse 18. If you have never asked God to forgive you, if you've never admitted to Him that you fall short, that you deserve hell, if you've never admitted that to Him and asked Him to forgive you, you have real good reason to fear. You do. You have every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there anybody here today that would say, Brother Mike, I've never asked God to forgive me. I've never admitted to Him that I deserve hell. Anybody like that? Just slip your hand up. I'm not going to point you out or embarrass you or anything. I just want to know who you are so I can pray for you. Anybody like that? Well, I hope that's true. I hope every single one of you is assured of your eternal future. I hope that's true. For the rest of us, how many here today would say, you know what, I love God, but I'm kind of having some trouble loving others. there's others that kind of get to me. Anybody like that? Just slip your hand up. Amen. God bless you. God bless you for being honest. We're all, you know, there's all people, all of us got people that rub us the wrong way. I understand that. How many here would just slip your hand up and just say, I just want God to use me in a greater way? Anybody like that? Just use me in a greater way. Just share whatever it is. God bless you. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, I do pray that every single person here has a saving knowledge of you through Jesus Christ. I do pray that that is so. But if it is not so, if somebody here just was maybe timid or just was embarrassed or whatever, didn't want to raise their hand, Lord God, I pray you would impress on their heart their need for you, and that they would seek someone out, me or some other person that they know could share the plan of salvation with them, Lord. I pray they'd do that. And Lord God, I pray for those that raise their hands and just say, you know, we do need to work on our love for others. We do. Lord God, help us. Help us to love them like we say we love you, because that's what your word says. And Lord, may all of us in a more complete way grasp the mighty love you have for us, that we would share that love with others, Lord. If there's guilt in this room, if someone is in this room today, Lord God, that Satan's been kind of just hitting them with guilt. Oh, they're saved. They've asked you to forgive them. They believe in you. But they haven't allowed you to heal them of their guilt. Lord, I pray they do that today. I pray that in their mind they would just grasp the fact that they are truly forgiven and that you just want to use them now. And Lord, if they haven't, if they're still wrestling with that, Lord, I pray you give them peace. I pray they would seek you out and settle it. And if that means going to a person, Lord, I pray they do that too. Whatever it takes, that they would be free to serve you in a greater way, to love others and love you. That's the two whole commandments, isn't it, Lord? You gave them to us. Love you and love others. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love others as yourself. Lord God, help us, Lord. Help us to live up to that standard that you've given us. And Lord, we know we can't do it ourselves. It's going to take you in us, you living through us, Lord, to accomplish that. But Lord, allow us to allow you to let you have full reign in our lives, that we would be that profitable servant for you. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your time. As the music plays, you deal with God. What has God impressed on your heart? Now is the time to deal with it. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for your word. It exposes truth in us. Sometimes it's truth we need. Sometimes it's truth we don't want to hear. Sometimes it just exposes that which we're already doing. And it confirms us, Lord. We thank you for the power of your word. It has all that power and more. Lord God, may we love as you love us. Make it be so, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.